And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So right now, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, we're going to switch over just to give you a look at the story that we're going to talk about. And the story that we're going to talk about now is the ongoing dramatics there in Cleveland, which, of course, is the rescuing, if you will, the freeing of those three women who'd been abducted and had been held captive in that home in Cleveland for close to a decade, in a couple of their instances, a full decade. The suspect who is being held, one of the suspects being held, and the guy that was mentioned in the 911 call because it's his home, Ariel Castro, has been charged with rape and kidnapping charges, and was charged today while two of the women return home to, quote, raucous crowds. One of the women, her name, I believe, is Michelle Knight. She was, her brother was quoted as saying she's not doing as well as maybe the other two. I don't know why that is, and nobody's saying, but that's the case there. Suspect in Ohio helped neighbors look for a missing child, apparently, at one point in the history of this guy's life and his residence there. Also, in 2008, he was pulled over by Cleveland area police, and they've got that on tape. As a matter of fact, they showed the video of this guy getting pulled over for some reason. In the years after his friend's daughter vanished while walking home from school, Ariel Castro handed out flyers with the 14-year-old's photos and performed music at a fundraiser held in her honor. When neighbors gathered for a candlelight vigil just a year ago to remember that girl, Castro was there too, comforting the girl's mother. Are you ready for the pair on this guy?
What?
What do you mean, what?
You know, about the guts. Yeah, you said his pair.
That's what I'm talking about.
Bud, I think you're doing that on purpose. If I hear you ask a stupid question again, you're going to go down for the count. Do you understand?
You can't hurt me.
You're going to go down for the count. Do you understand or do you not?
That's her talking, not me. And remember what is in the news.
Shut up.
In any event, the story goes, now he and his brothers are in custody after a frantic 911 call led police to his run-down crap can house, where authorities say this Mr. DeJesus and two other women missing for about a decade Ms. DeJesus and two other women missing for a decade were held captive by this guy. Authorities have until Wednesday evening to bring charges against the men. This animal has been charged, as I mentioned, with rape and kidnapping. This guy, you know, I'm telling you, there are some things in this world where death, even though he didn't take a life, yeah, he did. I take that back. He took a life and then some. These women are going to need, God knows what they're going to need. And this poor girl, this Michelle Knight, 32 years of age, her brother said she's not doing as well as the other two. And I want to read up on that. She remains in a local hospital while both Barry and DeJesus came home to raucous crowds. Barry and her daughter Jocelyn were taken by police escort to Barry's sister's home while DeJesus returned to her parents' tan bungalow. Both families live in the city's West Side neighborhood, just a few miles from the ramshackle row house where they were apparently held as prisoners. That's the news business doing their due diligence. You can't say that they were raped by this guy. You can't say legally that otherwise these guys can turn around and file a major lawsuit against the paper, and it doesn't matter if they actually are found guilty. It was before the fact, and it can prejudice a jury, and it's insane.
Yeah, in other words, you have to say allegedly. That's the key word. Excuse me for just a moment. I'm sorry, Phil.
Boy, I thought we went through a couple of days without that.
One of the problems is you make a big issue out of it, and I've talked to David Hall about this, and we tried to put our heads together on this, Phil, and I said to David, I said, look, let's do a powwow on Phil.
What do you mean do a powwow on Phil? What, is there something wrong with me? The problem is with you.
Phil, I sat down with David. I said, if you've got a weekend, let's get together some professionals.
Margaret, there's nothing wrong with me when I react to you. Is that David?
Yeah, Mr. Hall. So you have mailed a check to my house? I mean, the payroll department did? Very good. The Tootsie Rolls,
And wait. What the hell's going on?
He bought some Tootsie Rolls. Remember when I was doing a fundraiser for the magazines?
You're selling Tootsie Rolls. What is magazines?
I didn't want to sell the magazines. I'm selling a Tootsie Roll.
Bud, what are you doing that for, man? You don't need that kind of... You don't need to take the extra job.
No, but you get to keep... I told you...
Yeah, you know the Tootsie Roll? Because you want to get the extra Tootsie Rolls? That's why you're out of your mind. Let me talk to him, will you?
Yeah, well, hold on. Yeah, hold on.
Give me the... What are you taking it? Hey, David, hold on. I'm going to put you on the air, man. I got to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. Well, I'm terribly sorry. I want to ask... David G. Hall with us. David?
Yeah, what's going on?
Excuse me, David, but I want to jump in here first. Because Phil is going to preempt what I'm trying to say.
No, hold on. It's my show, and I'm going to say what I want to say. Now, Margaret is here, and she's saying that you guys had a powwow because I'm objecting to her belching?
Oh, yeah. No, we got together with Phil. I told Margaret, you know, see, you were going to flip your lid and I'm here with Janine. In fact, we're going to go out. We're getting donuts over here at Sputnuts.
Is this your girlfriend?
No, Phil, it's my mom. Yes, it's my girlfriend. Who do you think I'm going to be out with close to midnight?
Your girlfriend, but her name is Janine 1 week, Gloria.
She comes from a Mexican family.
So?
They got a lot of names. They name them after a saint, the Virgin Mary. How many names does L.A. have, okay?
David.
No. How many names does L.A. have?
No, don't give me that bull crap, okay? Her name is Janine, it's Mary, it's this, it's that. I know plenty of Hispanic people, and they only got one name.
Well, honey, I didn't mean to call you a chick. This lady has got about 9 names. How many names does L.A. have?
L.A.'s got one name, Los Angeles.
No, it doesn't. It's Our Lady of the Village, of the Pueblo, of the Thing, of the Deal, of the Do-do-do-do-do-do, of the Angels, okay? Only at the bitter end do you get the name of the city that we use today. If we actually used the name of the city, it would be Our Lady of the Thing, of the Thing, of the Thing, of the Thing.
What are you talking about, of the Thing?
He's saying, Bud.
But if you don't butt out, I'm going to follow through. I'll come in right behind Phil. Margaret gets you first, then Phil, then me. And by the time I'm done, by the time I get there, there won't be much left of you, but I'll make do. The city of Los Angeles was founded in 1781 by a priest by the name of, who was it, Phil?
Father Junipero Serra.
Yeah.
No, he didn't found the city. He put a couple of missions here.
Well, who put the city together?
The Spanish.
All right, well, I didn't know that. But the fact is, when the Spanish named these towns, they gave them these big, long names so that the Virgin Mary would think that they were just all that and, you know, and a bag of scalps. So,
I don't appreciate the scalp line.
Well, I do. And I happen to be a principal in the company. Now, what I want to say, hold on for a minute. What do you want, honey? Yeah, we're going to Spudnuts right now. God. Can I ask you a question? I better not ask with the lady sitting there, but...
What?
Well, Margaret's there, and I wanted to ask you a question.
Well, go ahead. I'm not going to get offended, David.
No, that's not true. Yes, you will get offended.
Go ahead and ask if you need to ask it.
I kind of do. Baby, would you go inside there? Give me one of those... give me some of those Starbursts, will you? Give me a big, long... Give me the 2-party packs, huh? Beautiful. Phil, I want to ask you a question because you like full-figured women. She likes these donuts. We're going to Spudnuts. This is the second box tonight.
Yeah.
Am I on my way to a terrible thing? Is this going to turn into...
Well, what do you mean, David?
I mean, is she going to become big and big times two, you know?
Is she going to get fat?
I wouldn't want to put it that way. She's got a great butt. And even if she put on a 60 pounds, it would probably be a fantastic butt. But the rest of her...
I would have to say, David, if she tends to be full-figured, as you say, and she likes donuts, yeah, man, she's probably going to get, you know, large.
I think that stands to reason. But if she's got the large posterior,
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, see, this is what I mean. I like it, but I don't need it to cast a shadow. I don't know how to put it. There's an old line.
Yeah, I understand. David, I would say that if you want to make her happy, let her have her donuts. Love a woman for what... You don't want her to be unhealthy.
Look, please don't give me a big, long women's lib speech, okay?
I think what Phil's saying is very, very sound.
Well, that's just great, but I don't need to hear about... Well, if you want her to be... Of course I want her to be happy, but I want me to be happy. And frankly, I want me to be happy more than I want her. See what I mean?
Well, let's just put it this way. In you wanting to be happy, you will also save her health.
That's what I'm looking for, right there. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay. Then you can recommend to her, you know, honey, I want you to be healthy. You know, you're a young woman. I don't want you to have heart problems or anything, you know, diabetes. And I tell you what, after we eat these donuts,
Oh, you're not going to say he should have sex with her.
Well, that's a pretty good idea, so she can burn off the calories.
Yeah, but I mean, you're going to have to put it in a nice way, otherwise she's going to think you're just...
Well, wait, whoa, hold on for now. That's a beautiful thing, because if I go out and I buy her a box of donuts, that's worth... You see what I'm saying? Because,
Hold on, just wait a minute. You're saying that a box of Spud Nuts donuts is your payment in kind for her intimacy.
Forget it.
All right, Dale, I'll talk to you later, okay?
Yeah, call me when the show's over, will you?
Oh, yeah, you boys get together and figure the world out.
Hey, Margaret, you know what? I'm not telling you how to live. All I'm trying to say is that I buy her a box of donuts, and what do? Sit there playing with it? So I'm going to sit there while she shoves these eclairs into her face, and I'm unzipped. Thank you very much.
You're laughing at that?
Yes, I am. I can't help it. What do you want me to do? I work with maniacs. I can only laugh. That guy is feeling so deprived because she doesn't automatically want to have sex with him after she eats her dozen donuts from Spud Nuts.
Well, that is a good question. How long? And I know you probably don't like it, but Ms. Gray, you know, be a good question on a dating game or something. How long do you wait from the last donut to when you expected, you know?
Yes, well, I think that's a good question in terms of being mannered, Robert, and I think it's a good question in terms of taking the feelings of a young lady into consideration. But I am also talking about health. But yes, how long should you wait before you tell her you want sex and after the last donut?
Is eaten.
Is eaten, yes. Can we do that when we come back?
No, we cannot do that when we come back.
What?
We're not going to. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth
you
is
dare
our
say
bitch.
No to me?
The Phil Henry
yeah.
Show.
I'm Margaret Gray, heir to the Earl Gray fortune.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're online at philhenryshow.com. Every single night we do a video cast of our show. We're doing one right now. And you can access this video cast, which is not only the full show, but it is also the uncensored breaks between the aired segments. We also have an uncensored 45-minute pre-show. And we do a lot of little things with Phil TV. On Saturday nights, we have our Saturday night movie. We didn't have it last Saturday night because I was out of town, but we will have a film for you Saturday night on Phil TV. People seem to dig that.
Not that one you had the other time.
Which one?
You had a couple just before you went on vacation.
Oh, we did Things to Come.
That's it. And then the one with the girl's head rolling down.
Yeah, Dementia 13. So we did, Things to Come, which got a lot of people reacted to it. They dug it. And,
what's that about? It's bitching. It's about a futuristic society.
Well, I mean, it's actually about, it's H.G. Wells who wrote the book, and then he did the actual screenplay. And it's about, it's H.G. Wells was, like many science fiction writers and fantasy writers, he put social commentary into his writings, but Things to Come is about Britain just as war is breaking out, and even that was very prognosticative, if you'll pardon the use of a 50-cent word.
That's like a dollar word, prognosticative.
Well, in any event, he wrote that Europe is on the verge of war, which it was, and that this war, World War II, resulted in the destruction of civilization, and by the year 1970, we're living as if it's like the 1500s. You know, people are, you know, ox carts and stuff, and cats are wearing these fright wigs, you know.
What's that about?
What's what about?
Why are you wearing a fright wig?
Well, they weren't wearing, their hair was somehow wigged out. I don't know why, you know.
Well, that needs a little explanation because there are racial overtones. What do you mean?
No, there's not racial overtone. You know, Margaret, There's not racial overtones.
You're saying that in the film they had men in Don King fright wigs, and I want to know why.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Would you guys not hit the microphone, please?
Sorry.
I think they tried to make these people look as if they were living hand-to-mouth and they didn't have time to comb their hair. I mean, seriously.
You put me on, they're going to do a science fiction movie about what happens when your hair don't get combed? That's nuts.
For once, I agree with Bud.
They didn't do a movie about what happens when your hair doesn't get combed. God, it's a H.G. Wells. I don't know why, and I'm not answering any more questions like that. Okay, do you understand? I'm simply going to tell you knuckleheads that this film showed the world of the future. And eventually the movie wraps up in the year like 2070, I think. And there is a, what do they call it, a rocket gun? And this is a gun, it's a cannon that fires a missile with people in it to the moon. And these people are going to go to the moon. What's really interesting about it is that H.G. Wells conceives of the future as a return to sort of the Roman Empire, the Roman Empire class system, and even the fashions. Everybody in the year 2060 is dressed as if it's Rome, only a futuristic Rome. They're wearing these tunics. And there's crowds that are, I say that we go and we stop the gun. So there's this mob mentality. And but it was a cool flick. People dug it. And then Dementia 13 was written and directed by Francis Ford Coppola at the urging of Roger Corman, who he was working for at the time. But Corman, all he wanted, was, because Francis Ford Coppola had done a good job for him on one of his other movies, he said, all right, here, I'll give you a budget, make a movie. And Coppola made this movie, which Roger Corman immediately took and changed. I think he added some scenes or he took over. So even Corman didn't know what he had until it was too late. You've got Francis Ford Coppola there. Just let him make the movie he wants to make. Well, I think we ought to have some changes here because... So anyway...
Well, I don't think Roger Corman sounded like he had a stroke and the left side of his face wasn't working. Good Lord.
Yes.
All right, I'm sorry.
Well, this is... You go... Phil, he wasn't walking around...
I didn't say he was. I said, hey. All right. Let's get on the line here. We have with us Christian Tomba. Christian is a psychic. He is a, I don't know, a mentalist, I think is one of the words you use, Christian. Not you, but people in your craft or your trade. I don't know. What would you call it? Would you call what you do a trade or craft or what?
Right. Well, what we do is the... The reading of the interior landscape of the human condition. I know that's a very floral description of attempting to plot the lifeline of the individuals as well as the larger groupings such as society, and it's been difficult because of the. The abundance and the plethora of people who are engaged in this kind of work, you know, is it
work? Is it a career?
Well, I like to think it is. It's you know, as I was saying to you before the broadcast, you know, I said to you that I've written books and I've been a consultant in some murder cases.
Now, you worked for who at that time?
I worked for the London Metropolitan Police Department.
All right, and they brought in you as a psychic.
Right, well, there was a case, two cases in the mid-80s, where they really were up against it, and they needed to change it up and try to shake a few things loose, and they brought a psychic in. They used one other psychic, a woman by the name of Mary McCumbrey. I don't know if you've ever heard that name or not.
No, I have not.
Mary McCumbrey, who predicted that the child would be... this was an abducted child, and she was going to be found under a wheelbarrow in the Midlands of England, and the police converged on a site that she said there was a wheelbarrow. Well, there was no wheelbarrow, there was a cement mixer. And inside was this child who had been abducted. The child was alive and been put into a cement mixer. So she got that so bloody wrong, you know.
Well, wait. I want to talk to you when we come back. It doesn't sound like she got it too wrong. She said...
She said that the child would be under a wheelbarrow in the Midlands, and they found the child in a cement mixer. You've got to know England. You don't know England, so
I... All right, hold on. We'll be back with Christian Tomba, because I want to ask him about a psychic who was very much wrong in the case of Amanda Berry and these three abducted women in Cleveland. We're talking about a very, very famous psychic, Sylvia Brown. And we'll talk here with Christian Tomba, psychic, mentalist, spiritualist from England, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, you can spell my name because I've got a book coming.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Do you have a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry website, philhendryshow.com? If you don't, you're missing close to 5,000 hours of great quality, dare I say, legendary audio entertainment. 5,000 hours. Now, that's not just radio bits. That's not just clips of things. Those are whole shows, the entire show. If you have a backstage pass, you also are treated to a daily classic podcast. We pull a half an hour from hither and thither, and we give you an example there each day as a subscriber of what you can find in the archives. If you have a backstage pass, you can tune into our video casts, which happen each and every night from 9:15 Pacific all the way to the end of the show. We have a pre-show of 45 minutes that is completely uncensored. If you have that backstage pass, you can access that video cast as an archive as well. We have several weeks worth of our video casts archived. If you have a backstage pass,
you can look at a webisode.
You can look at our webisodes. Animated webisodes by Stephen White are there on our website. If you have a backstage pass, you can access the Milwaukee Lion Archive. This is the fictitious Milwaukee Lion football team that is all the rage. And we're going to have Milwaukee Lion merch this summer.
You sure about that?
No. But I think. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. And you also can interact. I got to get back over to the feed because I've been doing so much that I haven't had a chance to be over on our comment feed with our BSPs, and that's going to have to, I'm going to have to step up my game over there, because I used to be over there quite a bit. In any event, that's what you get with our backstage pass, and there's all kinds of stuff that I'm forgetting. So join us at philhendryshow.com. This is a customer appreciation month, so you get free downloads depending upon the length of commitment you make as a BSP. So if you have a 1 month, I think you get one download. Do you know, Margaret?
Yes. Well, I think it's like the one and the three and the five. If I'm not mistaken, you have to read because there's a fact sheet, as we, and we call that a fact, FAQ, ladies and gentlemen, FAQ. That's internet talk for...
For a fact.
For fact, yes. But it's not that easy. It's not as... If Bud understands it, I'm not saying it right.
No, you're saying it right. It's the fact. The fact is, you get one for a month's subscription. You get three for a 6 month subscription. You get five for a 1 year subscription. Do it, philhendryshow.com. All right, with us, Christian Tomba, a psychic who's worked a number of criminal cases. Christian, the reason why I wanted you to come on here with us is because a psychic who said Amanda Berry was dead has been silent since Ms. Berry has been found alive, and this is the very famous Sylvia Brown. Sylvia Brown has made a career of televised psychic readings, told Luana Miller on a 2004 episode of that show that her daughter was dead. Luana Miller is the mother of young Amanda Berry, causing Miller to break down in tears on the show's set. "She's not alive, honey," Miller Brown told Miller on the show, according to the Cleveland Plain Dealer. "Your daughter's not the kind who wouldn't call." Your comment.
Well, it's unfortunate, but Sylvia Brown, in my opinion, has been a hack for a long time. Now, I'm not trying to befoul the waters that she has to swim in. I'm not trying to libel or drive any business away from Ms. Brown, but I think she has been over the hill and sort of stillborn for quite a long time. She's just no good. I just don't think she's any good, and I think that I understand that the mother thought that this young girl was alive, but she also believed in Ms. Brown.
Yeah, 98% she said she believed in what Brown told her. and Luana Miller died a year later from heart failure.
Well, right there, you can find the culprit right there. She was, I think, she was killed by Sylvia Brown.
Well, now, wait just a minute here, Mr. Tomba. This is Margaret Gray. Aren't you being a little presumptuous?
No, I'm not being presumptuous, Miss Gray, because think about it. If you tell a woman on national television, you're saying to her, your daughter is dead. You understand? She's dead. And nothing's going to bring her back. And there's nothing. We tried to do everything we could, but we couldn't do nothing.
Well, have you ever told anyone this on national television?
I had to, yes. And I can tell you I did it in a damn sight much more, a much more sympathetic and compassionate way.
What were you, was this on TV?
Yes, it was. It was on TV. It was Reggie Toll Show, which is a midday show on BBC Four. And I was on with the London Metropolitan Police Commissioner at that time, was a man by Barton Moody. And we were, it was part of the investigation of a serial rapist known as the Piccadilly Jack, or the Piccadilly Thrill, was what they call him. He was a serial rapist down at Piccadilly Circus, right? So,
What was the name of the guy?
Well, they found the gentleman, I think his name was Thomas Penton. But at the time, the newspapers called him the Piccadilly Thrill Seeker.
You're saying Piccadilly.
I know. Well, no, I'm not. Excuse me. Can I talk to one person at a time here?
Yeah, but just keep it. He's saying it's his accent. It's his British accent.
Yeah, you got to go to Piccadilly.
I said Piccadilly, all right? If it doesn't sound like Piccadilly, it's not sounding good to you. I've been listening to you, young man, and you sound as if someone caved your head in. Were you the guy they dragged out of the truck in the Rodney King lot? Never mind.
Boy, that is, I don't know, Mr. Tomba, that's nothing you bring up in our country.
What?
The whole, the guy that got hit with the brick in the Rodney King riots.
I'm asking, is he the guy?
No, he's not the guy.
I ain't got hit with no brick.
Well, something hit you. Were you aware? Has anyone ever beat you over the head with a 2x4?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of. Wow. All right.
Let's get back to the discussion here. Now, you said that you predicted on a national, the Reggie Toll Show...
Well, don't say it like I'm full of crap. I see you on this Phil TV and you go, the Reggie Toll Show, like you think I'm lying to you. You think I'm a bloody liar, and I'm not a liar. I'm telling you the truth.
I'm not saying you're a liar. I'm asking you the specifics of this prediction. Now, did you tell the mother of this abducted child, was it an abducted child or was it a rapist?
It was a rape. It was Piccadilly. I thought you were asking me about the Piccadilly Thrill Seeker.
No, I'm asking you about this case that you brought up.
Oh, the case I'm bringing up is the case of Reggie Schmutton, and he was a farmer. He was a dairy farmer, and he was one of the very rare, very old school Welsh dairy farmer up in Swansea City, right outside of Swansea City. And in any event, this chap would take his milk and his dairy products to market in the morning, and he did it on an old-fashioned wagon. He's got horses, and he's got the big jugs of milk, and he's bringing in big blocks of cheese. And he's going into Swansea City from his farm, you know.
But what is Swansea City?
A city? Jesus.
Is that in America?
No, are you listening to us, man? Where is it, Wales?
It's in Wales. So, in any event, the child went missing. And I said, I think the child is inside of one of those milk jugs. I think he's a white slaver. And I think the police should stop the cart as it's on its way to Swansea in the morning and empty out the milk. You'll find a child inside the milk drum. Now, I said that the child is not being drowned or suffocated or anything like this in the milk. I said, because the child will be just above the level of the milk, and he'll be disguised as a loaf of bread or something. So it looks normal. Because I said the child's alive, but the child is in a jug of milk.
The child's alive, but the child's in a jug of milk. So you assume the child was not being drowned.
That's correct. Now, they found, and then I said, I could, because I got another vibration, because they dropped off the milk. The police immediately stopped this man, Chuck Eager, and Chuck Egat had a small pie shop. He sold pints in pie, mostly meat pie. I went in there and I had a meat pie, I had a pint, and I said, that tastes so good, I think I'll have myself another one. And I wound up spending the afternoon and the evening, and I says to myself, you know what, Christian Tomba, you've been working hard, I'm going to have another meat pie and another pint. And I wound up vomiting outside of the pub, you know.
That's all well and good, but I don't know, is this part of the...
Well, what it was is I had the vision then that the child was underneath the wheelbarrow. And I called up Scotland Yard, and I got Inspector Vipper, and I...
Now, who's this guy?
Inspector Vipper was in charge of the case for Scotland Yard.
Inspector Vipper.
Vipper, right. Isaac Vipper. A wonderful chap, a Jewish chap. There's nothing wrong with that in my book. I think he's straight up a good man. I says, you can be a Jew. It doesn't matter to me at all.
Okay, that's fine. So the guy is looking into the wheelbarrow.
Yes, I said this child's going to be... He lifted up the wheelbarrow in the Midlands of England, and there was nothing there. They found instead a cement mixer in Scotland, and the kid was stuffed in there alive. And all no worse for the wear, but a little bit scared because the kid had gone from being in a milk jug. He had been under a wheelbarrow, and then they stuffed him in a cement mixer. And the child is probably a half an hour away from being a part of a pool deck in Scotland. If you think about that, that is a horrifying way to go because there's too many swimming pools in Scotland. And this was a private residence, too, an old man and an old woman. And it's very difficult for me to think of an old man and an old woman without feeling hatred for them, even though they didn't know there'd be a little tiny baby in their pool deck.
What do you mean about a baby?
If you're not listening to me,
He said that this child almost was in a cement mixer and almost got poured into a pool deck.
What? That'd take some kind of dumbass.
This is a criminal, you jackball. It's not a guy. Is this guy listening? Mr. Henry, do you know this guy?
Yeah, he's on my show.
Really?
Yeah, do you hear him on the microphone? He's on my show. All right, let's take a break.
You're not going to... You got to let me button this up.
All right, we'll button it up when we come back. With me, Christian Tomba, a psychic who is giving us his experience in this area of psychics working with police. Sylvia Brown, the famous psychic, had told Amanda Berry's mother that her daughter was dead. Luana Miller died in 2004, a year later, not knowing that her daughter was indeed alive and, of course, would be found eventually. We'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. Phil Hendry Show.
I meant to say I grew up in the street, you know, and I...
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I have with me Christian Tomba, noted psychist and psychic and spiritualist. And I'm saying to you, Christian, here on the Phil Hendry Show, I just don't see the value of psychics in police, and most of them. And I'm not saying, I'm speaking specifically of this Sylvia Brown. I'm familiar with her. She was on my show. I don't mean to be cruel, but I found her to be ridiculous. And I didn't think she was all that skilled and. So now you come along and you're telling me you worked with the London Metropolitan Police on finding the a killer of children, but that child that you found was alive.
Right. Well, this was Piccadilly Billy. And the reason why I brought a Piccadilly Thrill was I was a serial rapist, or Piccadilly Jack, or Piccadilly Walt. But the Piccadilly Billy was the one that was abducting children and leaving them places that the parents would never think of, and the child had to find his way. In one instance,
was he killing the children?
No, he was not killing the children. He was putting them in places. It was scare the living daylights out of parents. In one instance, they found a child on a barge in the Mercy River. Child was playing with feces. Can you imagine that? A little tiny child.
Wait. This was a kid that was abducted.
That's right. A child got abducted by Piccadilly Billy. and they found a child on a barge in the middle of the Mersey River at Merseyside, what we call Merseyside or Liverpool, up there on the west coast of England. And the child was, they found a child playing with human feces in a dirty, filthy septic tank. And Piccadilly Billy sent a letter to the Liverpool Echo saying, ha, 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 and like that, you know, and better than a toilet brush or something like that.
But the child had not been hurt.
No, the child was not hurt. There was a sack lunch with the child and a pass for the ferry going back to Liverpool. So whoever put him on the ferry got him a round-trip pass going across and a pass coming back and a sack lunch and two tickets to the cinema.
That is, are you sure that that's true?
Am I sure is what true? Yes, it's true. You can look it up if you want. Go ahead, look it up. That, you've never heard of Piccadilly Billy.
No, I've never heard of Piccadilly Billy. I don't know whether that... I mean, I'm not saying that it didn't happen, but the guy abducted children, didn't harm them at all, just put them places that were weird.
All right, but you're a parent, you're going to have a heart attack. The lady was looking at this little child, was Winston Smudge, as I was saying, was the name of this little boy, and his mother was like to have a heart attack. It's this poor lady looking for her little child. He was only a five-year-old child, and they find him sitting on this dirty, filthy barge in the middle of the Mersey River.
But you're telling me this guy abducted them and gave them a sack lunch, a round-trip pass, and two tickets to the cinema.
Right. Well, it's his way of saying, well, you're waiting for the police to come and find you. That's something for you to do. If you've got a friend.
What friend would a five-year-old kid have in a place that he's never been to before?
I don't know, Miss Henry. I'm trying to tell you about the case that I was involved in.
All right, Christian, I appreciate your patience, and you are a very, very patient man. I think what Phil is getting at is the fact that,
Right.
Oh, forget it.
Forget it. She was going to ask a question.
Don't worry about it. She does that a lot.
Well, don't talk about me like I'm not here.
All right. You do that a lot, Margaret.
What does she do a lot?
She stops. She starts to say something, then she goes, ah, forget it.
That's my constitutional right.
Well, it's right. If you don't want to finish up there. But I want to say... that in the case of Piccadilly Billy, he was never caught, and no one really wanted to catch him because what he was doing was he was taking these children and taking them off the hands. It was quite a very strange year in England at that time, as these children were being abducted, and no one gave no one gave two turds about it.
Okay,
because it gave the parents a break.
Well, I don't know what to say. It's weird, man. It's real weird.
It's weird, but it's not as weird as Sylvia Brown saying...
All right, well, so you were wrong in the prediction of finding the kid under the wheelbarrow. What were the repercussions?
Well, the repercussions for me was I got on a Terry Jean Liverpool Live. And I don't know if you've ever heard this radio show, but it is the most foul and obscene... It's very funny, but it's disgusting. And it's Terry Jean at the Liverpool Live radio show over at Radio City in Liverpool. And I went over, and I went over there with my agent, and they sat me down in that studio, and they started making all kinds of sexual jokes involving animals. And they accused me of having sex with doorknobs and...
What is this, some kind of a shock jock show?
That's right. That's what it was. It's a shock jock show. And they said, you know, it's all in good fun, right? And I said, and they gave us coffee and they gave us donuts and pastries. And we also had a pie there. I had a good meat pie for breakfast. And they also gave us coffee. And we had some good, strong black tea. And I said, you know, that's all well and good, but where do we get a pint? I'd love to get a pint in me before I go. And they said, don't worry about it, mate. And they had a full bar in the radio studio there at Liverpool Live with his Terry Jean show with all of his filthy jokes, right? But I have to say, I've never been treated with such great hospitality, and they're very fine blokes. But yes, their jokes and their humor was vicious and foul and defamatory,
and I had to put up with it.
Well, why did you have to put up with it?
Yes, you can walk out of those studios.
Well, because I wanted to talk about the case of Piccadilly Billy and the fact that I said the kid would be under a wheelbarrow. And I to this day, I say that I was pretty damn close because it wasn't a wheelbarrow. It was a cement mixer. And it wasn't in the Midlands. It was in Scotland. And but still in all, it was a pretty good call by me, I think, and I have to be very proud of myself.
What were these guys calling you on the Terry Jean show?
Oh, they called me an animal. They said I had sex with cats. They said that I loved doorknobs. I didn't wipe. And I said to them, I said, why are you saying these terrible things about me when you know they're not true? They said, well, we're the Terry Jean show. Ha, ha, ha. And I said, I wouldn't know you. I wouldn't know you if you were laying dead in my home and stinking it up with the stench of death. And they said, we're Terry Jean, ha, ha, ha. And they made another reference to what they said was my peculiarity when it came to sex with women, where I would remove my underwear and wear it as a necklace or something. It's ridiculous.
All right, listen, Christian, you've been a good sport. We appreciate it. You got some great stories. We hope to hear you again on our show.
I'd be very, very honored.
Thank you. Christian Tomba, spiritualist, psychic. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That man has the weirdest bunch of both.
Phil Hendry.